those of you who are in the auditorium class on Sunday morning and in the young adult class where we're using the Gospel Advocate series, I hope noticed this morning that the lesson was on the theme that we've been using during the Sunday evening lessons for several weeks. This is the 9th lesson of 10 in a series on senseless but profound. And our lesson this morning in Bible study in those two classes was from that section in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians where there's a contrast drawn between the foolishness of men and the wisdom of God, showing us that that which man counts wise is not always what God deems to be wise. And that many times what God says about it in His wisdom is referred to by men as being something that is senseless. Tonight our lesson is, you will never die. Now, think about that for a moment. Think first of all of Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. In that sense, every one of us will die. And yet Jesus said, both in John 6 and John 11, and perhaps said or indicated in other places, that there is a sense in which you will never die. He said, if you eat of the bread of life, and identified himself as that bread, you will never die. He said, if you really believe in me, you will never die. How is it that the Bible can say that every one of us will die and then say that none of us will die? And how can I say tonight you will never die? The answer is in understanding the word death, what it means and how it's used. The word death means separation. Think about what God said to Eve and Adam. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. When they ate of the fruit, did they die? Yes. They did not die physically. They did not die spiritually at that point. But they died in the sense that they were separated from that intimate, complete fellowship with God that they had in the Garden of Eden. And so literally, in the very day that they ate of the fruit, they were cast out of the garden and they died in that sense of separation that day. And because of that, physical death came upon the scene. And because of that, there was the need of God bringing about a plan of salvation, which if man turned down, there would be spiritual death. So there are three deaths really associated with what God said to Adam and Eve. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They died in the separation from the Garden of Eden. They died in that physical death came upon the scene. And they also could face spiritual death if they did not worship and serve God as they should. I want again to say to you tonight, you shall never die. The body will die unless Jesus comes while we're still alive. There will be death in the sense that the spiritual side shall be separated from the physical side of man at the time that the soul leaves the body. God said, or Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, don't be afraid of the person that can kill the body, but rather fear God who can kill the soul or destroy the soul or punish the soul eternally. Jesus recognized that the body would die. We quoted Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die. Every one of us is going to die a physical death unless, as I said, Jesus comes before we meet that point. We expect that. We know that that's going to happen. Doesn't matter what race we are, what nationality we are. It doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor, whether we're men or women, what our social status is, whether we are Christians or not, every one of us is going to die as far as the body is concerned. Death takes place when the soul leaves the body. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 2 says, we know if we have the deterioration or the demolishing of this earthly tabernacle, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. If this body is dissolved, we still have a building of God in the heaven. That's saying that the physical body is going to be dissolved. That's according to God's will. Genesis 2:7 points out that God made man from dust. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says that the body shall return to the dust from whence it came, and the spirit unto God who gave it. So physical death is talked about, and all of us are going to meet that physical separation of the body and the spirit. We're going to face that appointment. It is appointed that it's according to God's will. It is ordained that there's going to be that separation, and we will experience physical death. But at the time that your body is left behind, at the time that it is buried in the ground, you're not dead. You are not in that body. I think it is somewhat sad that we have almost identified everything about a person with the human body. It's easy to understand why, because that's what we see. The relationships that we have, that we experience with one another, is in the human body. And yet the human body is not the person. That's not you. When death has taken place to our loved ones, and all of us have lost loved ones, and we've buried the bodies in the ground, there's not a one of those people who's really dead. The spirit has returned to God who gave it. The same Bible that talks about this idea of the human body dying says that the soul will never die. God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. It's in the same setting where he said, let us make man in our image, and then says in the image of God he made man. So there is something about each individual that's in the image of God. It's not the human body, because God did not have a human body at that time and never had a human body, except Jesus, a part of God, came to this earth and took upon himself the form of a man and lived as a man. God in reality in the beginning is a spirit. There's no human body. And so he says that he breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life. He became a living soul in the image of God. It is that soul that's in the image of God. I believe, generally speaking, we can think of the soul of man and the spirit of man as synonyms. There may be some ways in which, from God's standpoint, there is a distinction made. But as far as I'm concerned in my study of the Bible, when I'm talking about the soul of man that shall exist for an eternity and the spirit of man which shall exist for an eternity, I'm talking about the same thing as far as I'm able to understand it as a human. Now, the word soul is sometimes used to refer to something else. 3,000 souls were added to the church, meaning 3,000 in number. We sometimes talk about so many souls, and we're talking about a number of people. We also talk about the soul being the center of something. You may have heard the expression, the soul of the earth, meaning the very center of the earth. But when the word soul is used to describe that which was made in the image of God, that's referring to the soul that he breathed into man, and the spirit that shall return to God who gave it, Genesis 2:7 and Ecclesiastes 12:7 again. Matthew 25:46, at the end of the judgment scene of the separation of the sheep and the goats, said, these, that's the goats, shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. He treats the unrighteous and the righteous. He uses the word everlasting as far as the existence of the unrighteous and eternal as far as the existence of the righteous. Those two words mean the same thing. What he's saying there is that no matter what your end result is going to be after the judgment, you're going to live somewhere for an eternity. It's everlasting or it's eternal. That means the soul is never going to die. I believe that's what Jesus meant in John 6 and John 11. When he said, if you eat of me the bread of life, or if you believe, really believe on me, you shall never die. Not only is he perhaps there talking about the fact that the soul shall live for an eternity, but he's saying, if you live for me as you should, you're going to live in heaven for an eternity, and you're not going to die even in being separated from God for the eternity. The body is going to die, but the soul will never die. I have been to the cemetery several times with loved ones, with my parents, grandparents, and especially with my wife. I do not believe that either one of those is in the cemetery in Jackson County. There's a body placed there in which each one of those lived. There is a marker that gives the information in memory and in honor of each one of those, but that's just the body in which that person lived. My parents, my grandparents, my wife, each one of them is still alive. Not alive in the body, but still alive, because the soul will never die. When that death takes place and one is pronounced dead, that means the physical body is dead and the soul has left and returned back to God. The soul is not dead yet. You see, there is the Hadean world that comes after death. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about this area of man's existence. I think it talks enough about it that we can at least draw some basic conclusions, although I will admit to you that I do not know a great deal about what happens between death and the judgment. I'm not overly concerned about what happens between death and the judgment. Because if you go back and think about that first verse we started with in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto a man once to die, after that the judgment. What's the next important thing after death? The judgment. What happens between death and the judgment? God is in charge. God will take care of it. And you and I may never understand all the details of it. And I emphasize to people when I admit that I don't know everything about the Hadean world, that what we need to emphasize is what we do before death and what the end result will be after the judgment. That's the two times that really matter. But the Bible does say a little bit about the Hadean world. We know that the soul of Christ went into the Hadean world. It's translated in the King James Version as hell, which is, I think, not good. The word hell in the King James Version comes from at least three different words in the New Testament and another one in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's referring to the eternal destruction. Sometimes it's referring to the intermediate state between death and the judgment. And sometimes it's referring to one part of that intermediate state. And you have to know the original word or use a translation that translates these appropriately. In most translations, Acts 2 twice says the soul of Jesus was not left in Hades. Hell in the King James Version. Jesus went to Hades. We also know that the word paradise is used. And we know that the thief went to paradise and was said that he would be with Jesus. Therefore, Jesus went to the Hadean world, but he went into that condition in the Hadean world that's described as paradise. There is one place in the Bible over in Peter's account, in 2 Peter 2:4, that translates the word hell that comes from another Greek word, Tartarus, which means the condition of the unrighteous in the Hadean world. You're talking about angels that were cast down into chains of darkness, and uses the word hell in the sense of Tartarus there. So when you look at the Hadean world, let me simplify this as much as I can. The word Hades is used to describe all people who have left the body and who have not made it to the day of judgment. they're in God's hands. The word paradise is used to describe the righteous dead, and the word Tartarus is used to describe the unrighteous dead. It's somewhat like I might say, we have people in this auditorium tonight. I then might say, we have women in this auditorium tonight. And we have men in this auditorium tonight. All of you are people. Only a certain part of us are men, and only a certain part of us are women. We're all together in one place, but we're in two distinct types of individuals. I think that, to me at least, is the best description that I can give of the Hadean world. When the spirit or the soul leaves the body, it goes back to God's keeping. That's the Hadean world. I don't know exactly how God takes care of the souls of man. He hasn't revealed that. He's revealed that he does. I know that the word paradise is used to describe those who have died in a righteous state, and the word Tartarus, those who have died in an unrighteous state. From the story of the rich man and Lazarus, I'm convinced that this Hadean existence is before the judgment, because the rich man, you remember, still had brothers on the earth. The judgment at the end of the world had not come. He was concerned about his brethren that were still living. I also am convinced and conclude from that story of the rich man and Lazarus that the memory, the mental part of the human, remains in the Hadean world. He said to the rich man, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime had the things good and Lazarus didn't." And I believe that the interest that the rich man had in his brethren was not because he could look back and see them on earth, but he knew their condition when he left them in death. There is the memory, unless a person is in a restful state as Lazarus was. The condition in paradise is described there as being at rest, and it's also described in passages like Revelation 14:13. "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors." That's that Hadean world. "And their works shall follow them." That's at the day of judgment. It's described specifically in Revelation chapter 20. So when a person leaves the body, the real person leaves the body. We don't bury the soul. We don't bury the spirit. And I think I'm right in saying we don't bury the real existing person. It's just the earthly tabernacle in which that person has lived. That soul, that spirit, goes into the Hadean world, into God's keeping. There can be no changing in that world. That's represented by the gulf in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You can't pass from there over here or from here over there. In other words, when death takes place, the physical death, one's destiny is sealed. But all the spirits go into the keeping of God, described in these terms that I've given unto you. Then there is the teaching that everyone will come face to face with God in the day of judgment. The Bible says there will be a resurrection. Does that mean the physical body is going to be resurrected? I don't really know. I don't think so. But I can't prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. The reason I don't think so is 1 John 3:1 says, "We shall be like him," talking about Christ. We'll have a body that's like his, and I understand Christ at this point to be in a spiritual realm, not a physical realm. I believe he left his physical body behind and went back to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't know what we will look like at the day of judgment, but I am convinced without any doubt that we're all going to meet God face to face at the day of judgment. They that are in the graves, and learn to think of the grave not as a place in the ground, but the unseen world of the dead. That's the way the word grave is used. Sometimes it may be referring to a physical grave, but when he talks about all those that are in the graves shall hear his voice and come forth, those people that died at sea and were cast over the ship will be there also. In fact, Revelation 20 says the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Those that are cremated will be there also. I don't know what the body's going to look like. I'm not prepared to tell you because I don't think the Bible reveals that completely. But I am prepared to tell us, the Bible does reveal, each one of us is going to stand before God in the day of judgment. So you aren't dead yet. Our lesson tonight is you shall never die. That doesn't make sense to people unless they put God in the scene. But there's going to be that day of judgment. They that are in the grave, John 5, 28 and 29, shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's talking about what the end result is going to be for each one of them. But we're going to stand before God in the day of judgment. Question has been raised. If one's destiny is already sealed, and even in the case of the rich man, he could know what his destiny was, why have the judgment? I don't have all the answers for that. But it makes sense to me to think in terms of our own court system, where there is a trial and then there is a sentencing. Someone is convicted, and maybe even before the trial he knows he's guilty. And he doesn't receive the sentencing until sometimes later. I am convinced that the judgment day is a day of sentencing. Exactly how God takes care of the judgment, and when there's a sense of the separation even in the Hadean world. But I'm going to leave that part up to God and just teach what I know. I know that we're all going to face God in the day of judgment. You're not dead yet. And when that judgment takes place, you're going to continue to live in one of two places. And although there are times that hell is described as destruction, it's not annihilation, it's punishment. They that go into everlasting destruction, everlasting punishment, those that go to the eternal hell are not dead, and they'll never die. That's one of the most sobering thoughts, if you'll stop and think about it. I believe it's Mark 9, says at least three times, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In other words, nothing's going to burn up and nothing's going to get any lesser as far as the punishment is concerned. Those who hear the word out at the day of judgment are going to live forever in that place called hell. Those that hear the word in at the day of judgment are going to live forever in that place called heaven. And I don't know whether you picked up on the word in and out or not, but I think there's a sense in which that's the last word. One of those two is the last word we will hear at the day of judgment. Cast him out or enter in. You remember in the story of the talents with the two that he said, enter into the joys of thy Lord. And then the other one, cast him out. At least that's the concept of what we're going to hear at the day of judgment. It will be either enter in or cast him out. But if we enter into heaven, we're still not dead. And if we enter into hell, we're still not dead. You will never die as far as your soul and spirit is concerned. Will you die physically? If time continues, yes. Even if you break the record, well over 100 and live that long, you're still going to die. No matter who you are, what your status in life is, you're going to die physically. But that's not the real you. That's just the body where you have resided on this earth. You see, your soul will go on to God. In that Hadean world, you're not dead yet. You'll come to the judgment. You're not dead yet. You'll go either to heaven or hell. You're not dead yet. You will never die. Your body, yes, but you, the real person, the real being, created in the image of God, will never die. You're going to spend an eternity. And I don't even have words to explain what that means. I've never seen or known anything like it. I know the concept that's presented, But I don't think any of us can really understand what the word eternity means in its fullness. But it means you will never, never, never die. Now, if that doesn't cause us to see the need of taking care of our relationship with God, I don't know what does. There's something about me, there's something about you that will never die. And the end result is, I am going to spend an eternity, never dying, in one of two places. And it's pretty clear to me, and I don't think this is something that we have any difficulty understanding, that if we're going to live in heaven, we've got to do what God says, and depend upon Him. If we don't, we're going to live in the other place for an eternity. You see, that's why we don't just extend the invitation to have something to do at the end of a sermon. We're talking about where we're going to spend an eternity. Do a little bit of soul searching. If you've not become a Christian according to God's plan, you need to do that tonight. Be baptized for the remission of sins. Let Him add you to the New Testament church. If you've done that, your life is not what it ought to be. If it's something private, take care of it between you and God. If it's something public, take care of it with confession and prayer to God. You will never die. The real you, where will you spend eternity is the question. If you're not ready, come as together.